Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Today is April 15th. Normally a day that's synonymous with filing our federal taxes. I realize that our government has extended that filing by several months, but today is typically the day we think of when we think about taxation, April 15th. Today, believe it or not, I'm going to try to encourage you with a story about filing taxes. I ask that you would stay with me for just a few moments as we discuss the topic of not subject to taxation.
On him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
There's a story told of a tax assessor who came one day to a poor Christian farmer to determine the amount of taxes the old gentleman would need to pay. The following conversation took place. The assessor asks, "What property do you possess?" The old gentleman replied, "I'm a very wealthy man." The assessor then instructed him to please list all of your possessions. He began, "First, I have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Second, I have a mansion. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Third, I have a peace which you cannot understand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Fourth, I have an unspeakable joy. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Fifth, I have a divine love which never fails. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Sixth, I have a faithful and precious wife, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. Seventh, I have a healthy, happy, and obedient child. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Eighth, I have true, loyal friends. A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Ninth, I have a crown of life. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Tenth, I have a good name. A good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. The old man intended to continue listing all of his possessions, but the tax assessor interrupted the man. He closed his book and said, "Truly, you indeed are a very rich man, but your property is not subject to taxation. Have a good day, sir." You know, many of us, including myself, probably wish we didn't have to pay taxes, or at least pay taxes at the rate in which we owe. But isn't it a wonderful thought that the things that we have as Christians of the greatest value are not subject to taxation? That God, when He promises to give us things, is not going to take those things away from us. And even during difficult times like this, where we may be frustrated at maybe the amount of money that we have, maybe we're not able to go to work, maybe we're not deemed essential at this point in time, and so we cannot get to work, or you know, maybe it's just we miss going out and doing some of the things that we enjoyed and spending some of the money maybe that we do have, and we don't have the time or the ability maybe to do those things at this moment in time. We need to remember that God has truly given us so much. And if we have a clear, focused vision on what God and Jesus Christ want from us, then we can appreciate God's gifts so much more. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." If we have a true focus on what God has given us and the true appreciation of what God has given us, then we will willingly give back to God. In Malachi 3 and verse 8, the children of Israel here are being condemned. And Malachi is asking a question, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee?" And he says, "In tithes and in offerings." If we have the proper attitude that we need to have in appreciating God's gifts and giving back to God, then we're going to willingly give to those who are in need. In James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace and be warmed and filled,' and yet do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that?" And even if we have that appreciation and willingness to give back to others and give back to God, then we're going to willingly pay those taxes that we owe. In Matthew 22 and verse 21, they said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." I would encourage you in this difficult time for all of us to remember all of the things that the Lord has given us that are not subject to taxation, those things that we will be able to take with us when our life here is over or when the Lord returns, that none of those things can be taken away from us. And this old farmer gives us this wonderful example. And again, I know it's a story, but he gives us this wonderful example of appreciating what we have and understanding how much God truly has given us. I encourage you until the next time that we're here to remember that you have gifts that are not subject to taxation.
We pray, Alleluia, Lord, by your grace and mercy, lead us safely.